Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you very much for being here. I have a number of individuals who are going to be testifying on our various bills that we have today. We have Senate Bill 343 as well as Senate Bill 448. I'm going to go ahead and open up public hearings on both those bills, Senate Bill 343 and Senate Bill 448. The purpose of that is to allow our members who need to go to other meetings be able to get their testimony on both. So I've got Senator Roblin, Senator Farioli, and Representative McEwen. If y'all three would be so kind to come up, and we'll take testimony on each or whatever those bills.
Yeah, exactly.
And Representative McEwen may be on her way based on us saying what we're saying right now on the public radio station. Gentlemen, senators, thank you for being here.
Okay, which one?
You.
Okay.
Mr. Ostrawals.
Senator Pruszynski, members of the Judiciary Committee, it is really an honor to be here in front of you, having last session had the opportunity to sit up there where you are. It is an important committee, and you have two very important bills. As a member of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services, along with Senator Farioli and Representative McEwen as she gets here, how we strengthen our relationship between the 9 federally recognized tribes and the state of Oregon, and understanding clearly the sovereignty of those individual nations in a comparison in relationship to the sovereignty of our state, are really important. And one of the big bills that Senator Farioli and I last worked on was Senate Bill 414. I think that's right.
412.
Thank you. That had to do with what. Now, Senate Bill 295 is all about, and that is policing and sharing the responsibilities of police officers, of tribal police, and the state of Oregon police. And it has, in my opinion, worked out exceptionally well. And I've talked with all the tribes. We've had conversations about it. In Coos County in particular, where there are a couple of tribes, the Coquille and the Confederated Tribes of the Coos, Loramquin, and Siusla, sharing responsibilities, the number of calls between of assistance between those agencies has been remarkable. Almost in the Coquille incidents in Coos Bay, North Bend, probably one a day assistance, one way or the other, with respect to the tribes and the local police. It has made our citizens safer. It has made our communities safer and healthier. And I think the ongoing relationship is one that we really do need to continue. And I hope we can remove the sunset and continue to develop the relationships between those sovereign nations and their police forces with our police force, so that we enhance the opportunities in our communities in those areas. So very excited about what we did last a couple sessions ago. Really important that we get this done early. I thank you for doing that, because the sunset would come into play and we need to continue that relationship working. The other bill fixes a thing that we've been doing for a long time, and it really allows a particular tribe in Warm Springs to adjudicate their adolescent youth in ways that are significant to their tribal culture, and I think gives us a way to think about how we do juvenile justice in general across our state. The issue has been that some of those kids that would be there are in different counties, not just enclosed in one county now because of some schooling things. And so this extends it to allow that relationship with the judge systems to allow for them to take control in certain cases with respect to adolescents. So, again, another one of those ways in which we show that the state of Oregon is willing to work with those sovereign tribes to make a stronger and stronger relationship between our units of government, and to understand that some of the tribes have developed their own court systems in ways that allow them to take control with respect to those tribal members. And I think it's another one of those things where we continue to work together to show how we can work as a group in the state of Oregon. So I thank you for your opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Senator Farrow, did you want to go next, or Representative McEwen?
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will proceed. Senator Ted Farioli, District 30. Member of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services. As Senator Roblin said, this removal of this sunset I think is a demonstration of the efficiency, effectiveness, and really the proof that Senate Bill 412 was the right thing to do at the right time and actually has become a working relationship between the nine treaty tribes and the state of Oregon. Let me just be really as clear as I can be. Senate Bill 412, the original, and Senate Bill 295, which removes the sunset, increases public safety, and the demonstration of that is embodied by the comments of the director of DPSST, who said that DPSST requires all of the tribal police agencies and law enforcement units to annually submit an affidavit verifying their compliance with the requirements of 412. Those documents are kept on file at DPSST. Tribes that wish to partake in the authority of 412 have their officers certified. They comply with all the provisions of ORS 181.610 to 181.712, which includes reporting all actions to DPSST, really a watchdog sort of relationship that comports the tribal authority with the very important public safety standards for investigations, for the use of deadly force, for sharing of information, for openness in terms of records keeping, for accurate and complete records keeping. In other words, just as every public safety agency in the state of Oregon would be expected to do. So, in fact, to paraphrase what the director has said, when an agent of law enforcement calls for backup in a very difficult situation, it will not matter what color the uniform is. When a law enforcement agent appears on the scene, they will be fully trained, fully certified, and they will be fully effective as a peace officer and a public safety officer under this program. I'll point out that not all the tribes have decided to undertake this very rigorous, very high standard, but the lower, the Coos, the Lower Umpqua, and the Siusla Tribal PD, an early adopter in 2011, Umatilla Tribal PD, Warm Springs Tribal PD, Grand Ronde Tribal PD, Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission officers, the Coquille Tribal PD, and the Burns Paiute, all the previous there in 2012 and the Burns Paiute most recently in 2013, are fully certified under this program. This is working. Not only is it sending, a powerful message about public safety, but it also sends a powerful message about Oregon's commitment to honoring the sovereignty of the nine treaty tribes in Oregon. I have heard this bill, Senate Bill 412, described as probably the most significant civil rights action that this legislature has taken since the 1960s. Senate Bill 295, by removing the sunset, really affirms our commitment to that relationship. And I would just point out that the message that we're sending is that our respect for the sovereignty of the tribes that participate in this program and all the nine treaty tribes should have no sunset. And that's what this bill really is about, is our continuing commitment to honoring that relationship. And with that, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I will yield the rest of my time to my fellow member from the Legislative Commission on Indian Services.
Thank you, Senator.
Representative Flynn.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Catty McEwen. I represent House District 9 down on the south coast of Oregon, and I stand here fully supportive of the removal of the sunset of Senate Bill 412 in the form of the Senate bill before us today. I'll bring this down to a more local level. I had an opportunity last fall to do a ride-along with one of our local Oregon State Police officers out of the Coos Bay North Bend District Office, Officer Young, and I was able to spend 8 hours in a car with him talking about all different aspects of the work that they do. the challenges that they face in rural communities. And it became very clear in the in our conversation that one of the things that he was very pleased to have an opportunity to do was partner with the Coquel and the Confederated Tribes in our area with their law enforcement officers. It was a very important aspect of what they did. And the law enforcement cooperation established by this bill created a fabric of cross-jurisdictional partnership in our rural communities that are sorely underserved when it comes to our ability to provide services with our city officers, our county sheriffs, and our Oregon State Police. This additional layer of support is something that they felt very, very strongly about. And you've heard very eloquent testimony from my other Legislative Commission on Indian Services members here. So I'll just add very briefly my support for the removal of this sunset. It's a very important aspect of how we provide services to our local communities, honoring the work that our tribal members are doing in preparing to do this work. And we're very excited about the opportunity to make this a permanent program.
Questions? Senator Cruz.
Just a comment. The one issue when we did 412 was reciprocity, and it's still an issue out there. I know the program has worked very well up till now. I'm hoping at some point in time we can look at how we put more meat on the bones of the relationships we're establishing here. So.
Any other comments? I'd like to just say thank you to all three of you for your participation in your work. And for Senator Farioli, I remember the day when you and I sat in your office looking at what we were going to do and whether we were going to advance forward on 412. And based on your comments and our discussions prior to today, I know that we did the right thing based on what we've seen. And I know, as you've said in your testimony, as you, the others have too, it has definitely brought more public safety opportunities in the sense of resources to be available throughout the state. And as you said, it's not the color of the uniform that shows up. It's whether or not the uniform does show up. And we do know that they're trained through this process, and it's one that I've seen from my day job as a prosecutor in Florence where it has, in fact, on-the-ground works, and it works very well. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to take it up?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I may ask the indulgence of the committee, I'd like to also express my strong support for Senate Bill 448, mm-hmm. also in your committee's jurisdiction today. The idea that we could have a partnership with local courts that divert the Indian youth who are accused to Indian courts really allows a kind of a cultural support network to be extended to that youth, really to redirect that youth to better pathways, better lifeways, better skills. And it's something that our standard courts struggle with. And we've tried to be very adaptive with drug courts and diversion programs and youth education, even the Youth Challenge program. But those all lack the essential aspect of the cultural connection. So by empowering the Indian courts to have the referral from the justice courts for Indian youth is, you know, it's an amazingly effective tool for us. It actually reduces the burden of the civil courts in the communities where it operates. But the rate of success that they've had in redirecting these kids shows that it's a program worth maintaining. So just let me put those comments on the record.
All right. Thank you. Senator Roblin.
Yeah, Senator Roblin, District 5. And along that line, I think it is a good example of how our state works with individual tribes and recognizes the individual sovereignty. This bill is about Warm Springs because they have the process, they've worked it out, and they've developed a relationship with our court system so that there's a matter of trust between it and an understanding that what they're trying to do is help these youth be successful. And as other tribes develop their courts and decide they want to get involved, I think this has been a really great example of how our state has to work with each of these tribes, not to come up with a solution that we say, here's what you have to impose on all tribes, but rather work with each tribe to come up with the thing that works for them and makes us feel comfortable that what it's working is working. And that's one of the reasons I think this bill is really important as well.
Thank you all very much for your participation. We're going to go ahead and go. We have two panels that have been pre-selected, I've been told, so I will call up Chairman Garcia.
Thank you.
Tribal Chief Donnelly and Howie Arnett. Gentlemen, if y'all three would come up, that'd be great. Bob, good seeing you, sir. And I'm going to let y'all self-select as who wants to start. I just need to make certain you please put your name on the record before you give us your testimony.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start. So my name is Bob Garcia. I am chairman of the Confederated Tribes of Coosla or Umpquan Sayusla Indians and a member of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services. I'm here in support of the repeal of Senate Bill 412, so thank you for giving the opportunity to come and speak. Our tribe has a five-county service district, which is Lane.
Just a correction, you're in support of the removing of the sunset.
The removal of the sunset, I'm sorry.
Not the repeal of the bill.
Excuse me, thank you. Repeal of the sunset.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah.
But the record, we want the record to say.
Thank you, Senator Cruz, for that. But repealing the sunset is absolutely what I am in support of. Our tribe has a five-county service district of Lane, Lincoln, Coos, Douglas, and Curry counties. And we have tribal members that our police have to protect in all these areas. And we have tribal police that are, you know, driving essentially from Lane County through Douglas County to Coos County. And at one point, it was a jurisdictional maze because we had individual agreements with individual counties or individual jurisdictions on whether they had police authority in any of those places. What this Senate Bill 412 has done, and its repeal will continue, is to put more trained police officers on the street protecting Oregon. I'm very proud that our tribal police have participated in joint actions with many of the jurisdictions and have backed up officers in Coos County and in Lane County. So it's something where this, to me, is common sense. Having more trained state-certified police officers on the street, backing up more trained police officers, makes the Oregon safer. I hate to say, but there are times in West Lane County where a county sheriff is hours away when they are in Eugene and, you know, we have problems that are on the other side of the mountains. So it's great to have tribal police officers that can respond in those situations or back up anyone. So glad I think this is to be able to hear to testify. To me, this is a real common sense issue. Let's put more trained, properly certified police officers on the streets and on the roads of Oregon and keep them there. Thank you.
Thank you. And who'd like to go next?
Good morning. Chairman Przanski and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, good morning. Thank you for being here. In a traditional word, Daisla, good morning. My name is Donald Ivey, and I'm a member of the Coquel Indian Tribal Council. I am here to urge you to make permanent the Tribal Law Enforcement Act of 2011, Senate Bill 412. Please, if you will, consider and make permanent in this law, Senate Bill 343. I'll make my remarks really simple. This bill is about taking care of Oregon citizens, all of Oregon citizens, and it's about taking care of our communities, all of our communities in Oregon. This bill helps us do that. It makes our communities safe, and particularly for tribal folks, not all of our tribal members live on tribal lands, and our citizens should feel comfortable and should feel assured that as much as possible, whenever possible, we're making our folks safe wherever they may live. The Coquel Tribal Council urges you to act swiftly to pass Senate Bill 343. It will make permanent the opportunities for more and more successful tribal-local government collaboration for law enforcement and subsequent public safety on Oregon's South Coast and in all of Oregon. Thank you for your attention. Enjoy your day.
Thank you very much. Howie, you're going to go next. And remember, we do have the hearing open for both of the bills, so I'd like to take both your testimony on both of them and within our time constraints so we can get everyone up at the table.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Howard Arnett. I am a tribal attorney for the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon, and I'm going to have some few brief remarks about the experience at Warm Springs regarding Senate Bill 412. And if you have any specific questions about Warm Springs experience, we have Dennis White, chief of the Warm Springs Police Department here, and Stan Sunaga, who's the general manager of the public safety branch of the Warm Springs Tribe. And they're far better able than I am to answer any specific questions. 412 has worked great at Warm Springs, and Warm Springs is where 412 came from. State versus Kurtz is the Court of Appeals decision that triggered the need for Senate Bill 412. And Senator Prezansky remembers well that the discussions and the process we went through to get 412 enacted into law. And aside from being the tribal attorney, my moonlight job is I teach Indian law courses at the University of Oregon Law School as an adjunct professor. And always one of the most challenging parts of teaching Indian law is teaching criminal jurisdiction in Indian country because it is extremely complex. And 412 was intended to address the complexity of criminal jurisdiction in Indian country and the authority of tribal police officers inside and outside of the reservation. And State versus Kurtz was a perfect illustration of the problem that can be created if tribal officers aren't able to be authorized to exercise state arrest powers when they're dealing with a situation outside of the reservation or involving an individual, a non-Indian, over whom the tribe lacks jurisdiction in an on-reservation situation. So with 412, things have gotten much better. And one of the things I found interesting when I was talking to Stan and to Chief White is Warm Springs, in our part of the state, is the only enforcement agency that has a canine unit. And so when the neighboring law enforcement agencies like the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, the Oregon State Police that operate in the north central area of Oregon, and the Madras City Police Department, when they need the dogs, they call Warm Springs. And the Warm Springs Canine Unit responds and assists. And it doesn't just happen occasionally. It happens a lot. I understand that in 2013 there were 40 instances of cooperative use of the canine unit from Warm Springs with the neighboring agencies, resulting in numerous arrests of suspects, a seizure of $100,000 in cash, and a large volume of narcotics. And that's a perfect example of how 412 has worked. The tribal officers wouldn't be able to do that because they wouldn't have authority outside the reservation to bring their canine units to assist these outside agencies without the authority of 412. And let me say something briefly about the Columbia River situation. And we have Jerry Ecker and Mitch Hicks from the Columbia River Intertribal Law Enforcement Agency who will be up to speak, I believe, on the next panel. Warm Springs is one of four tribes that have treaty fishing rights on the Columbia River, two in Oregon, Umatilla and Warm Springs. And as I say, I teach criminal jurisdiction in Indian country, which is complex to begin with. And nowhere in America is that complexity more complex, or that complexity reaches its zenith on the Columbia River. The Columbia River Intertribal Law Enforcement Agency is the primary enforcement agency that regulates the treaty Indian fishery and all of the criminal activity that may arise on the treaty Indian fishery on the Columbia River, which is a 150-mile stretch of the river where it forms the Oregon-Washington border, starting below Bonneville Dam all the way up to McNary Dam. And within that geography, there are four tribes with treaty fishing rights that have homes in three states, Warm Springs and Umatilla in Oregon, Yakima in Washington, Nez Perce in Idaho, who regulate their own tribal members exercising each tribe's treaty fishing rights in that area. That's potentially 25,000 tribal members could be fishing on the Columbia River. And the Intertribal Enforcement Agency is there to enforce each tribe's treaty fishing rights. They also enforce other laws. It's two states, Oregon and Washington. It's seven counties in Oregon. It's three counties in Washington. Plus, there are three federal agencies, maybe four if the FBI gets involved, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the National Marine Fisheries Service, all with enforcement authority in this same place. So in that context, in that setting, Senate Bill 412 is an absolute godsend. And Chief Ecker and Mitch Hicks will explain how that works. And Warm Springs is a beneficiary of that because Warm Springs tribal fishermen fish in that area and exercise their treaty rights there.
Thank you.
And then 448, did you want to make a couple of comments?
Yes, I could quickly. Just a little bit of background. The Warm Springs Reservation actually occupies territory in about six Oregon counties, but primarily Jefferson County and Wasco County. The entire reservation is part of the Jefferson County School District. So students from Warm Springs attend middle school, not so much anymore. There's now K through 8 school on the reservation that opened this year. But high school, they all go to Madras High School. Most all of them do. And sometimes, historically, issues have arisen when they're off reservation, in school, in town, in Madras, and that put the students in the criminal justice system, the juvenile criminal justice system in Madras. Historically, there had been a handshake agreement between the juvenile authorities in Madras and the tribe to have those cases referred to the juvenile system at Warm Springs, the tribal court's juvenile system. That worked fine until maybe 8 or 9 years ago when the presiding judge in Madras, Dan Ahern, who's married to a tribal member, has three children who are enrolled members of the Warm Springs tribe, was advised that there was no legal authority for the circuit court to refer those cases to the tribal court. So he said, we need a statute. And the legislature responded and enacted a statute. But it's Jefferson County specific. What's now happened is that a number of students from the reservation, even though they're within the Jefferson County School District at the far north end of the reservation, the Sinashuary, which is in Wasco County, go to school in Maupin, in the South Wasco County School District. Probably 20 students. And Maupin District sends a school bus to Sinashuary every day to pick up the students and take them back. If those students end up in the juvenile justice system, they're in Wasco County, and there's no authority for those cases to be referred to the Warm Springs Tribal Court for adjudication and handling, which is where they should be. This is where the students live. Juvenile offenses are status offenses, and they should be addressed in the jurisdiction where the children live. So that's what this legislation does.
Wonderful. Thank you for the clarification. Any questions for Senator Cruz?
Just a comment about what is going on South Coast and basically all of our timber-dependent counties that are running out of money and are struggling to have enough public safety officers on the road. This addition is very key. So I think this is long-term, it's going to work very well. You go down into Curry County, which is darn near broke, and backup for a peace officer is sometimes non-existent. So the more assets we have, the better off we are.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming forward today.
Thank you.
Our next panel is Kevin Campbell, Patrick Singh, and Aaron Knott. Kevin, go ahead and get started.
Good morning, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. Our association includes policing leaders from 135 different departments, including municipal, tribal, and university police departments. We were in support of Senate Bill 412, and we strongly support Senate Bill 343. By all accounts, it's really a success story. In our association, our tribal policing leaders are full and active members of our association, and they're really partners in professionalizing policing in Oregon. They are critical to our association, and so it's easy for us to sit here this morning and encourage your support and passage of Senate Bill 343. I don't want to take any more of your time because you're going to hear from four tribal police chiefs, and they can tell you about all the good work they're doing, but please know that their statewide association fully supports this bill and their efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Singh. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. In 2011, AOC, which represents your county commissioners, and we also have membership including our sheriffs, district attorneys, and a number of other public safety county officials, floated somewhere between neutral and opposed to Senate Bill 412. I would say in the last few years, we've been very impressed with the results since the passage of the bill, and are pleased to result that we are fully supportive of removing the sunset for tribal police in Oregon. We just voted on that at a recent meeting. I would say, as a personal experience as a reserve police officer, I've had the chance to attend a number of regional trainings around the state through city and county police departments and through DPSST's regional training, where a number of tribal police officers have been in attendance, and they're great folks to work with, and we look forward to the strong relationship that our counties have with our tribes moving forward.
Thank you. Aaron?
Thank you, Chair Przanski. Members of the committee, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Attorney General in the Department of Justice, also here in support of Senate Bill 343. We, like other partners, watch this bill carefully. And just to see how it would go, of course, as the attorneys for the state, if things go poorly, we find out in court. And I'm here to join in support. This has worked very well from our perspective as well, both in terms of the operations of the Department of Justice and personally with the support of the Attorney General. So just here to join the chorus of supporters.
Wonderful. Questions or comments? Thatcher.
Thank you. Patrick, you mentioned that the previously on the underlying bill in 2011 that the counties floated between neutral and opposed. Is the issue of reciprocity something you think can be dealt with or discussed, or are you not going to pursue that anymore?
Mr. Chair, Senator Thatcher, I do think that reciprocity was one of the issues that was discussed in 2011. Again, based on the results of what's happened in the last few years, we've, I think, moved beyond that. I think we've, especially counties facing fiscal distress, as Senator Cruz mentioned, that don't have as many resources as they do, appreciate any assistance they can receive from anybody else in a uniform. So that's been a very important factor in our support for the bill.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Gentlemen, thank you very much. Our next panel includes Brad Kneeper, Tim Alderman, and Mitch Hicks. And gentlemen, the same thing. Whoever would like to lead off, just state your name first, and we'll just get the testimony then. Thank you.
Yes, that's me. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brad Kneeper. I'm the chief of police for the Coos, Lorem, Kwan, Siuslaw tribes. I'm also an enrolled Siuslaw member. The passage of Senate Bill 412 had a significant impact on our tribes. We no longer have to rely on outside law enforcement for our authority to provide public services to our tribe and to our neighbors when they need us. Senate Bill 412 was a good law which enhanced public safety for our tribe and allows us to work with other law enforcement agencies to develop partnerships which we all need and benefit from. When we travel between different areas, we're not always on tribal lands. For instance, yesterday when I came up here, I stopped at the Sandy Am rest area and I no longer parked, and I was contacted by an individual who had a confrontation in the rest area with a gentleman who had shaken his car and then confronted him about who owned the car or whatever it was. This guy was from California, and he didn't know what to do. And so as soon as he saw me pull in, he reported it, and I passed the information on to Oregon State Police. And that's just a real simple and common occurrence, but it happens every day. And you know, it ranges from real simple minor things to serious events that we can help with. I could go on for hours, but I won't. So thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Well, thank you for sharing. Who's like to go next?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee members. My name is Mitch Hicks. I am the Chief of Police for the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. As you heard from Mr. Arnett, our operations are largely beyond the boundaries of the reservations. We do serve Warm Springs and Umatilla, which are Oregon tribes. And the counties of Eastern Oregon, in which primarily our operation occurs in, are very rural counties, very small departments, just as we are. I think the partnerships that we have with those county agencies and cities, what few cities there are, but are essential to both, you know, their public safety operations and ours, in assisting their officers assisting us. And also, as you heard, our area of operation extends over into the state of Washington. We are a participant in the Mid-Columbia Law Enforcement Group, which is comprised of 13 law enforcement jurisdictions from Oregon and Washington. And Senate Bill 412 has been a big benefit in that when it's the agreement that we have with them, the Washington agencies, is largely a mutual aid agreement, but it does have provisions in it for interagency investigative work and so forth across state lines. And the benefit of Senate Bill 412 for us being Washington agencies recognizing us as a peer Oregon agency, along with Oregon State Police and Hood River County Sheriff's Office and Hood River City and others that are members of that group, would probably otherwise not give us the standing that we would need at that in that group. And I guess in the continuity of what Senate Bill 412 does with us, for us, with other agencies in the area where we work, was demonstrated in a case that we had just this past October, where three children, non-tribal children, were sexually abused by a non-tribal adult, but it occurred in a tribal residence. And so, given Senate Bill 412 authority, we were able to go to that residence. We were able to, even though the children were living there, we were able to gain the assistance of Oregon State Police and the Department of Human Services and get those children interviewed, get the adult offender into custody. And so the tribal community and the non-tribal community both were protected and served well there in that incident, I believe. So with that, I'll just say that we support the removal of the sunset provision and look forward to future partnerships with our peer agencies. And thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairman and committee members. My name is Tim Adelman. I'm the Chief Police for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Prior to that, I have a lot of experience as a state officer. I retired after almost 25 years with Washoe County Sheriff's Office. So with that experience and my experience combined that I have at Umatilla, I urge you to pass legislation to remove the sunset clause from Senate Bill 412. It has been a success, especially in our area. We have broad partnerships with other agencies. We've entered into interagency mutual aid agreements. We're part of the BENT team, which is the Blue Mountain Narcotics Task Force, the Major Crimes Team. I could go on about our partnerships with our community. In speaking with Sheriff Terry Rohn of the Umatilla County Sheriff's Office, he has told me that he's fully supportive of removing this sunset clause to Senate Bill 412. One thing I want to talk about a little bit, prior to Senate Bill 412, when the Kurtz decision came out, there's a lot of uncertainty about law enforcement within Indian country. With that, the biggest part of it was the fact that we would have no authority over non-Indians. With Senate Bill 412, that gives us authority because within our reservation, we have approximately half our population are non-Indian, and then that doesn't even include the thousands of visitors that come through the reservation every year that we would have had no authority over. But with Senate Bill 412, we are able to be a viable partner within the law enforcement community of Umatilla County. The Umatilla County Sheriff's Office, for example, has been extremely understaffed and undermanned for several years. And with that, I'd like to bring up an example of one of the most horrific child abuse cases I've ever seen. And that includes, I spent my tour as a detective in the MDT Child Abuse Unit in Washington County. This is a case where an 8-year-old girl, a non-Indian, was sexually assaulted over a period of 6 years by two adult men and her adult sister. We initially, when we got this case developed as a result of a tip, our patrol officers responded, got the case going and moving, and then our detectives took over.
And ultimately, this case was recently a plea negotiation was settled, and the main suspect in the case was sentenced under Measure 11 to 37 years in prison. And that's just an example, because at the time, Umatilla County, and I think they would have been hard-pressed still, would have had a hard time coming on and doing that investigation just because of their sheer manpower. The state police would have been hard-pressed because of the number of detectives they have in Eastern Oregon. So it's up to us to be a part of that community, law enforcement, and give us the ability to assist and be a good partner in the area. I could go on and on, just like the chief's with me here, but I won't. But I will urge you to please pass legislation to remove Senate Bill 4, the sunset clause from Senate Bill 412. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Questions for any of the chiefs? Gentlemen, thank you again for coming forward.
You.
Our last panel that I have listed is Eric Giblix, Brian Dubray, and I believe Raymond Tusumpty. Eric,
good morning, Mr. Chair. Eric Giblix from the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, also known as DPSST. If you look at 343 today, it would be important just for me to go back a little bit on Senate Bill 412. What Senate Bill 412 did is brought together really a complex public policy discussion here within this building, combining sovereign nations with state government. And DPSST was the linchpin in what I would call policing partnerships between state, county, city and tribal law enforcement agencies. You heard Senator Farioli speak about the agencies that are participating, and every tribal police department in the state of Oregon participates with DPSST and meets Senate Bill 412. These were complex discussions between tribal leaders and the state, and it really came down to the sovereign nation status. We work with the Oregon Department of Justice and as U.S. Attorney with all these different tribes to basically make them understand what it's all about and what the relationship's all about, and I can tell you that it's worked very well. The one thing I would just finish by saying is that the work that has been done here has also been recognized nationally. The Indian Law and Order Commission did meet in Portland 2 years ago. Senate Bill 412 was one of the issues they highlighted, and it's been identified as a best practice. So I think what we've done here is really being used across the nation and how to address this issue. And I'd be glad to answer any questions people may have.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Raymond Felica Tusumpty. I'm in my seventh term as a tribal council representative of my tribe. Before that, I retired as a tribal police officer for Warm Springs. I graduated from the police academy in 1969, early part, either January or February, Camp Withicum. I did not receive my certification until June 1978. So I just give you a little bit of history. I mean, Warm Springs has jumped through a lot of hoops over the years. As you're aware from the last discussion that we had with this committee, that Warm Springs is a non-280 tribe. However, we have cooperated with outside jurisdictions to a point where tribal council allowed outside jurisdictions to forward whatever interest that they have for any individual, whether it's non-Indian or Indian, living within the boundaries of the reservation, to arrest or serve papers on. The relationship that we have had dates back to 1957, long before my time, with Wasco County. I believe the sheriff was Mosier at that time. I guess what I'm trying to lay out here is the relationship between Wasco and Jefferson County. Tribal police officers were not allowed to make contact with anyone who is a non-Indian, not unless they have completed the Oregon Police Academy. That gives the respective sheriffs their insurance is that they are academy trained. So I look at this Senate Bill 412 as an exercise as to what Warm Springs has been doing with Wasco and Jefferson County all along. So everybody else is playing catch-up. So in my mind, as to what I have observed, is that it is a good exercise. It ensures people outside of Wasco and Jefferson County that all other tribal police departments are equivalent to all other police agencies. Now, to the other bill, you know, I'm a little kind of double-minded about that one. I guess if there's going to be any referrals of minors to Warm Springs, I'd surely hope that nobody drops the ball, meaning that there was a case that unfortunately led up to an individual losing his life because of that. And that case is USV Belgard. So I'd hope that whoever wants to sit down on the Warm Springs, because I'll be watching that. You know, if it could be minor charges, then so be it. If it's anything in that, I'd say that the outside agencies, you know, take on their responsibility in enforcing law. So I'm hoping, I'm trying to make it short and sweet here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Just for clarification, from what I heard from Mr. Arnett, this the 448 was actually going to just expand it from what it's currently been established with the Warm Springs Tribe into Wasco County that does not have that authority. And it sounds to me that the courts in Jefferson County have worked very well together with the tribe. And I hope and I expect that it's just going to be an extension of what has already been in place. And I hope that you will continue to watch it. And if they're not doing their job, you're coming back and tell us.
I have a sharp eye.
I know you do. Thank you very much. So, gentlemen, I have a couple other people here. I had one that was scheduled that didn't come forward, and I call Brian Dubray. Brian, if you're here, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, I will not be testifying.
All right. Thank you very much. And then also, Michael Mason, you are on for 448, and I didn't know if you were going to testify. Howie's already testified, so I didn't know if you needed to put something on the record or not.
Well, thank you, Chairman. The tribal's
reading out of it. All right. Is there anyone else who wanted to give testimony today on either Senate Bill 343 or Senate Bill 448? Not seeing anyone coming forward, we're going to close the public hearings on both of those bills, 343 as well as 448. And we're opening up a work session on Senate Bill 343. Senator Cruz.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 343 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 343 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussions?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Thatcher.
I might get to a yes, but there are a couple conversations I want to have with some people before I get to that. So
I appreciate the notice. Any other comments or questions? Besides Senator Thatcher, is there any other objections at this point, understanding that she reserves the right to change her vote after she has further conversations? Not seeing any, motion carries. And I'm going to go ahead and place Senator Ferrioli and myself as the carriers. And at this point, why don't we put Senator Ferrioli as the opener, and I'll be the closer on that one. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 343. We'll open the work session on Senate Bill 448. Senator Cruz?
I move Senate Bill 448 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 448 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest, because you gave Senator Ferrioli the other one, that you give this to Senator Roebling, chief sponsor, so as a, for a carry.
Okay, we could do that. Yeah. We could do that. If, I didn't know he was chief sponsor. I was going to give it to Ferrioli just because of his location. Okay, that works. We'll share.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Not any objection to the motion? So ordered. And as the vice chair says, we'll have Senator Roebling be the carrier on 448. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 448. And now we're going to go ahead and open up our work session on Senate Bill 188. And
yeah,
I think that'll be just as easy.
Chair Przanski.
Why don't we just hold for a second?
Mr. Chair, you can clear a room.
I think we can proceed now.
Okay. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 188 comes to this committee from the Office of the Attorney General. We had a public hearing on February 10th. The bill creates the new crime of the unlawful dissemination of an intimate image. The bill focuses on the non-consensual disclosure of an intimate picture to a website with a specific intent to harass, humiliate, or injure another person. The first violation is a Class A misdemeanor, with each subsequent violation being a Class C felony. The proposed Dash 1 amendment is an acknowledgement of existing federal immunity and clarifies that the crime does not apply to the provider of an interactive computer service. There's no fiscal impact. There's a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. The bill is ready to move.
All right, and we are looking at the Dash 1s, correct?
Correct.
Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 188.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 188. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Senate Bill 188 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 188 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Gelster, if you'll be our carrier.
Please, thank you.
Thank you. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 188. And lastly, we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 2700. House Bill 2700.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, you heard House Bill 2700 on Monday. This is your CPRAE bill. It would direct 50% of unclaimed funds left over at the end of a class action lawsuit to legal services program through the Oregon State Bar. The remaining 50% would be distributed to an entity that the court finds has a direct relationship to the underlying action. It allows courts to determine the claim process on a case-by-case basis and removes the opt-in mechanism for individual recovery from judgment. We have all of the paperwork today on this measure and no amendments.
All right, thank you. Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chair, I moved House Bill 2700 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves House Bill 2700 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Cruz.
There are so many questions on this issue that, in my mind, are unresolved. Like, is there any other state that allows a judge to dispose of claims process when the judge finds that identifying class member is not practicable, sort of thing? And also the fact that we are passing something that may actually be impacting something that's already in process. And for that and several other reasons, I will be a no on this measure.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? Senator Burdick.
Yeah, I struggled with this for some of the same reasons Senator Cruz just mentioned, and I am supporting this bill. I think it is it should have been our policy years ago. I personally tried to do this 10 years ago, and so it's long overdue, the basic policy. I am still concerned about some of the testimony received about the identification of the class, whether that is too loose under these new circumstances. So I have assurance from the House sponsors that they will participate in an analysis of whether that particular provision needs to be tightened up. I think it's worth some looking into, but it's a more complicated issue than we can deal in the context of this bill. And so I would want that to be a longer-range project.
All right, thank you. Senator Thatcher.
I'll just put on record, I have many of the same reservations stated, so I will be a no.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I could, one more comment. So let me see if I get this straight. We're going to pass this, and then we're going to form a work group to figure out whether it's what it should be, rather than create a work group to figure out if we've got it right before we pass it. I find that interesting.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
That is not, that was not the intent of my comments.
All right. Any other comments? Objections, I understand, to be noted are Senator Cruz, Senator Thatcher. Anyone else in objection? Not seeing any other objection. Motion carries. Chair will carry 2700 on the floor. And with that, I believe that takes care of the work we have for today. Today is Thursday, which means we will not be meeting tomorrow since we do not have committees on Fridays at this point. We'll be here on Monday, and I believe at 8:30.
Unless that changes. Right?
No.
She has spoken.
Okay.
We will be here at 8:30. Okay. With that, thank you very much. Everyone have a great day. We're adjourned.
She's changed it before herself.
We're adjourned.